As the pair made their way to the sick bay, Orkwell explained briefly how he was banished from the abbey and how he came to meet Gorath. After listening to his narration, the hair maid smiled ruefully.
Your tale isn't too far different from mine, old chap. We both came here pursued by foe beasts, eh?
The young hedgehog winked at Mordy.
Aye, so we did. But what were you banished from Salamandastron for? Were you a thief like me?
Totally unprepared, Mordy blurted out.
No, certainly not. It was for fighting. Actually, all I did was biff Corporal Thwell and a few other bods. But how did you jolly well know they were going to banish me, what?
Orkwell opened the infirmary door quietly.
Oh, it was just something about you a bit like me, I suppose. Gorath's in the small back room.
Mordy gazed awestruck at the sleeping badger stretched out on the big bed.
Quarks! He's bigger than old Lord Asheye, though he looks a bit thin and wasted. Is he ill?
Orkwell touched Gorath's massive paw gently.
He's been through a lot. A lesser beast would have died from the treatment he received from those sea raiders.
Gorath's eyes came open. He struggled weakly to sit up.
Sea raiders? Where are they?
Orkwell sat on the bed, pressing him back down.
Calm yourself, mate. There hasn't been hide nor hair of those rascals seen anywhere around. At the moment, we're more concerned about a horde of brown rats outside the south wall. Listen now. There's someone I want ye to meet.
Mordy proffered a paw, introducing herself.
Mordy Mugsbury Throttle of Salmondastron, sir. I was sent to seek you out by Lord Asheye.
Gorath paused a moment.
Asheye? Is that his name? An old badger, completely grey all over. I've seen him in my dreams a few times. What does he want with me?
The hermaid seated herself on the end of the bed.
I'm not quite flippin' sure, sir. He said I was to observe you. Probably has thoughts of me bringing you back to Salamandastron.
Gorath interrupted her, the old fire seeming to smoulder in his eyes.
Not until Vizca Longtooth is dead by my paw. Orkwell, go and warn your abbey friends. Those vermin are somewhere near, waiting to attack Redwall. Bring me tongue. Give me my weapon.
Again he tried to rise, but Mordy and Orkwell held him down. Sister Atrata appeared in the doorway.
What are you doing here? This creature is ill. He needs rest. You must leave immediately.
The sister took a small bowl from the bedside table. Supporting Gorath's head, she raised it to his lips.
Drink some of this, friend. It will help you get well.
The badger took a long, thirsty draught and lay back. His eyelids fluttered and he gave a deep sigh. Then he began murmuring, as though thinking aloud.
Never saw them coming. No chance at all. Have to bury the old ones. Build a new dwelling. All gone now. Home. Kin beasts. Getting cold now. So cold, these northern isles. Ice. Snow. Crops ruined again. Poor beasts. Poor beasts. Buried in northern earth. So cold. So cold.
Gorath began trembling and shuddering then. His great wasted body arched against the bed, paws tightly clasped as his teeth rattled aloud. The pitchfork tongue, which had been laid next to him, clattered to the floor. Sister Atrata acted quickly, pouring more liquid from the bowl between her patient's clenched teeth as she snapped out orders at the two visitors.
You, miss, bring blankets from the big chest in the next room. Prink, get hold of Marja Dubbage. Tell her to get a fire lit up here. Look sharp now, both of you. Your friend's in a fever.
Orkwell hurried off to find Marja the bellringer. Mordy located the big chest and pulled fleecy woven blankets from it as she murmured to herself.
Hope the sis knows what she's doing. Imagine me having to go back empty-pawed to his lordship. What would one say? Sorry, sir, I found the badger who carries the flame, but I bloomin' well lost him. Huh! Major Mullet have my hide.
Stumbling over a heap of bed linen and blankets, the hair maid tottered into Sister Atrata.
Will that be enough, ma'am? Do you want me to fetch more? Is he going to be all right? Hadn't you better give him another dose of that jollop from the bill, what?
The good sister treated Mordy to a strict glare.
I'll do all in my power to help him, miss. But please, don't start telling me how to do my job. Here, take a corner of this blanket and help me to cover him.
The hair maid was tucking the blanket about Gorath's shoulders when she noticed the extent, the depth, of the flame-shaped scar on his brow.
Great blinking seasons! What an awful wound! I saw it when I first got here, but I didn't realise just how jolly big it was till I got up close.
Sister Atrata nodded.
Yes, I'm just hoping it doesn't affect his recovery. But who knows?
Mordy stared down at the awesome wound.
There used to be an old hare in the veterans' barracks. Got a big rock broken over his head in the vermin wars. Funny old chap. Used to sing songs in a language no beast could understand. They reckon the bang he got from the rock sent him clear off his chump. Beg pardon, ma'am. Made him act strangely.
The sister lowered her eyes.
I understand things like that have been known to happen, though I don't think this badger will lose his mind. He's too fixed by one purpose, to avenge the death of his family.
Mordy gazed out of the window, watching the first pale streaks of dawn illuminating the night sky.
Sounds just like a badger to me, sister.